A very good Wednesday, race fans, live from Saratoga. The start of really the run to the finish line, right? On the backstretch, maybe, approaching the turn. Is that about right? Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And it looks like a better day than originally anticipated. There is, a little potential for some weather, but it sure feels like the way things shifted, there's a very wide gap between any first band of potential rain and then later tonight some rain. So I think we pretty much dodged it. And look at this. Just checking dark skies. There's only a little window around 11, just with light rain, in fact. And in top of that, it's only a 28% probability. So everything looks okay on that front then. And good, because I did not spend a lot of time worrying about the MTOs. It would have been a bit of a bloodbath if the rain had shown up. Meanwhile, let's catch up on a few different things, and we got a funny morning, an interesting mix, and I'm also kind of fluid. There is any number of potential star guests that are floating around, and if I set this thing up. If I set up by the rail on the bridle path, I could have actually interviewed Rich Strike, because he's in the paddock now, I think, or he's on his way to the paddock. But when I parked the car and came back through, Eric Reed and his team were in the paddock and hadn't seen Eric since since Belmont, and happy to welcome him to Saratoga with the Derby winner, right? Derby, having a Derby winner in the Travers, always a plus. And considering that all the other stars are aligned, and once we get past Saturday, the draw, of course, today for Alabama card, once we get past Alabama, everything will start to gear up and get focused for next Saturday for Travers Day. Always the biggest card of the meet. In addition, in the paddock, and we may rope in, maybe with a little bit of a window, Dean Reeves. Reeves Thoroughbreds, and boy, Dean and Patty have been a large presence around Saratoga, whether it's on the oval or at the ring, sales ring. And so I saw Dean. He might pop over for a minute. And I promised Dean early in the meet, actually, said, got to get Ted, and been on in too long. And Joel Rosario was hanging out as well. So we'll see if we get him to come around the corner. And any of those potential guests here in the first hour. One guest that we know I'm expecting in this first hour, Kieran McLaughlin. And Kieran has been dodging, kind of one of those Roy Firestone interviews that I occasionally am good for. I guess the Amos visit last week, that had a little bit of a Roy Firestone feel, right? No, you're not going to make me cry, Roy. my agent Jerry. the littlest thing throws me off. All right, I'm easily amused. Now I'm completely lost. Kieran, I've wanted to have this post training conversation with Kieran, and there's a unique scenario that makes today perfect for at least a partial conversation. I don't know if you noticed this, and if you if some people do the handicapping early and then they come back to the card, or they looked at the entries and then you know, do some heavy lifting later. But the fifth race today is going to be, you know, another one of those two-year-old events that resonates and will be, you know, returned to. It sure feels that way. And there's any number of candidates. There happens to be just one horse that has made a start. That's Linda Rice with the Greens, there was Binkster. Remember that? That's a funny story too. I could tell you the Binkster story. Binsky is, of course, DJ Stable and Linda Rice. This is a Curlin out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, retraceable. So, what's fascinating about this field, in addition, you know, to just being, you know, a nice group. As any $105,000 purse will draw at Saratoga with the two-year-old types, there's two real headline fillies involved. Miha, as in fact, Andy made a mention of Miha yesterday. This is the Stone Street homebred that is Stone Street through and through. How about the Curlin sire side out of Rachel's Valentina, Rachel Alexandra's daughter, who, of course, Kieran McLaughlin trained and famously and unbelievably, if you were here for it, broke the maiden and was just amazing. It was one of those kind of cool moments that Saratoga produces. And there actually were a couple of those for Kieran that he can talk about, because didn't both of the siblings, did they run the same day? My memory on this is maybe a little hazy, but you know, she broke her maiden August 2nd, and then the spinaway win. Then she tried the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and obviously had issues from that point. But there's Kieran right now, and so I'll yield to his expertise on the topic. But here's Miha for Barbara Banky, and has worked very steadily for Todd, and worked well. Then the other, another big firster in the race is Padma for Godolphin. This is the Tappet filly out of Karina, who Kieran also trained. So the two biggest first-time starters, and there's some other good ones too. I don't want to limit it. Mrs. Weber's got one that actually looks live for Trombetta. Trombetta's also training a Klimt for Todd Bostoller and new Commonwealth New Era, Bulsara. There's a bunch in here. Chad's got one for Peter Bradley. It's a very good field. But the fact that Kieran trained both of the dams of the two principals is quite something. Mott trains Padma. Feels like she may need one. There's also a very nice Justify of Peter Blum's, a homebred. What looks like a nice Justify. They've been popping, to say the least, upon introduction. And Justifying is out of an unraced mare, at least a mare unraced in North America. But the Justifies so far, first time out, 8 for 23, which is, I mean, just a gaudy number. 35%, 8 for 23. Quite something. Is also 1 for 4 on turf, which, you know, shouldn't come as a complete surprise. You know, him being a Scat Daddy's son, he'll undoubtedly have. And you got the one in right in Europe as well. So Kieran, I said to myself, this is the day. This is the day to get Kieran to sit down. So there you go. We've got all kinds of activity out here. In fact, watching cars, carts flying by, and here he is, the triumphant Rudy Rodriguez. There he is, and boy, look at that! These twins—they come rolling through here in their big golf carts. Rudy finally, of course, last week. Although Andy brought up a good point, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, 1 for 48 going into, you know, what is the back half of the second half of the meet. So anyway, Kieran, and plenty more to talk about on this card. The day starts as well on the card side of things with the Jonathan Sheppard New York Turf Riders Cup Handicap. And we'll get Bill Gallo. Hopefully Bill will be live potentially. And here is Snap Decision coming back to the jumps after that tune-up down at Colonial when he ran very well. And in fact could have ended up second in that race. Got an 89 buyer returning to the flat. Yeah, so Snap Decision, very much the horse to beat in here. Leslie Young has got a first-time North America called Song for Someone. And if we see Leslie, I'd be very curious. We'll see what Bill, and you can tell one thing that's very different when it comes to the steeplechase set and to these kinds of races. Here's a, you know, an invader, and Bill Gallo gave Song for Someone, who's a Medician 7-year-old, that competed, you know, certain places, including Cheltenham, and Sandown and Ascot. He has kept good company. Song for Someone, 153 pounds. So that tells you really all you need to know. Snap Decision will tack 164. But second high weight is this first time North America. Down Royal, you'll recall the conversation we had with Kate Dalton, and Kate made it clear that, you know, they felt obligated to come back for this race. I think she, you know, kind of feels like, you know, the little added distance might not suit Down Royal, but they're very game to come back. And, you know, as it happens, the mare has won 3 straight. Yeah, the P-Pack, the Henley, and now the Smithwick. So, and you know, not to take away from Snap Decision, but, I mean, if she was able to, you know, see this through, and she's getting 21 pounds from the favorite. But if Down Royal somehow were to win this, you know, she's going to be a leader in the clubhouse for Chase Champion. You know, you'll only have, in terms of big opportunities, you've only got Far Hills and the Lonesome Glory. So, you know, having, you know, put away 2 grade 1s up here, that might be enough. We'll see. We'll talk to Bill Gallo later. Looking forward to seeing Bill. And the rest of this card, by the way, we've got the first of the New York Stallion Series races today. The boys, tomorrow the girls, and the Skidmore on Friday. Here's Kieran pulling over. Perfect timing. Been looking forward to this. All right. I don't, you know, obviously we'll talk about, you know, Luis Saez as well because of how great things are going. Kieran's got one of those very sharp golf carts too. This is not really a golf cart. This is something else. This is like a moon buggy, actually. It's and he's got, you know, those great I forget which. I'm not sure which is a Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. One of the two Kentucky organizations, you know, puts out those bumper stickers every year for Derby. Typically, I'd like Kentucky bred, you know, whoever. And Kieran's got an I like Kentucky bred frosted bumper sticker. All right. So Kieran's going to join us in a minute. The race, the action yesterday that we took part in and got a little frustrated with what went on at Colonial yesterday. Nobody's fault by any means. That disqualification, now, it frankly, the way my ticket was structured, I wasn't going to hit it anyway because I did get kind of victimized by the scratch of Baron. Butchie Reed didn't come down. And so anyway, that those horses coming together the way they did in that Chesapeake Stake was there was a no win. I mean, they took down the winner, and you can understand why. There's no doubt that Necker Island, bothered the third place finisher. Jalen Journey gets put up for Norm Cash, but there was plenty of other hurly burly going on well before. It may have been best to just leave it alone, frankly, but kind of an interesting... I don't think there was any wrong answer in terms of yesterday's decision-making. The races that we talked about, though, yesterday, and in fact, Al Stahl's filly, no longer undefeated, Caribbean Caper, Fee d'Esprit, who we talked about as an alternate, she ends up winning. That Seeking the Pearl, if you played the pick five and pick four, you did very well. The return here was excellent. We'll maybe get back to this later. The Old Nelson, and that was a fun race, ended up going to Didia. Nacho Correas, looks like he's got another good import, an Argentinian, on his hands. And in the Buckland, the mile and an eighth, that was a fun race, King Vega. We talked about the Chesapeake, and then in that nightcap, Tiki Bar for Mike Stidham. And this is actually a Caracanti filly that Dee Dee McGahee bred, and that Donald Ross campaigns. And in fact, those are some, those names all have sort of a connection to our guest. And you want to put the headset, you think? What do you like? Or do you like the stick mic? You like the mic? There you go. That's fine. Mic is good. No, you're good. Mic is on.
Testing.
There it is. It's been too long since everybody got to hear Kieran McLaughlin. Right. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. And we'll talk about Luis Saez and the new career that seems to suit you just fine.
Yes, everything's going very well.
That's for sure. But I said to myself this morning, I'm writing up the races. I get to this fifth race, to this maiden special weight. And, you know, knew that the Rachel's Valentina filly was involved because people have been looking forward to it. But then I look down and I see Padma out of Karina, and I said, I'm getting Kieran.
Yes, she was a very nice filly, and she was especially kind filly. One of the barn favorites, Karina, and my daughter loved her. Aaron was her favorite filly because she was real kind to be around and talented.
It's funny, both her and Rachel's Valentina kind of had similar, you know, early success as babies. Then some things started to kind of nick at them and kind of, you know, make it clear that it wasn't worthwhile to really keep pressing forward.
What happened with Karina is interesting. You bring up issues. She actually cracked her pelvis up here in the fall, and they did a great job across the street at Rude and Riddle. She had to live there for like 2 months before she could ship and be safe. So they did a great job with her, and it's great that she was able to go on and be a successful broodmare, hopefully.
That happened after the prioress?
After her last race, yes. Up here, working.
Wow, was she? I don't remember that at all. Was she? Maybe I do actually. Was she in a sling and they keep the weight off and all that?
She had to be in a stall across the way, not in a sling, but she was in a real tight stall for
movement.
Yes, and then restricting her movement, and then she was able to just heal up there, and we shipped her later, like much later, to be safe.
Wow,
and I'm glad she's doing fine now.
Well, and you know, you talk about the fact that she was kind and relaxed. That's the difference. And there's been great advances in this arena. I mean, because famously, for people that don't know, I mean, Ruffian was operated on, and when she came out of the anesthetic, she started to thrash about.
Right.
And otherwise, she probably would have been saved.
Yes.
When they understand and realize people are asking them to be easy on themselves, that makes it a lot easier.
Correct. She was a great patient.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, here she is with a Tappet and this filly, a Godolphin. So this is all, boy, it all weaves together for you.
Yeah, except I'm not riding her. I might wish I was on her, but I don't have the call on either filly that we're talking about. But
that's all right. You're riding for Trombetta.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yeah.
The Rachel's Valentina story, because that, for those that aren't old enough or weren't involved in the game yet, the hoopla and the carrying on and the excitement that it generated, I mean, talk about that summer.
Yeah, but that wasn't me. I didn't have her.
But it
was great to see a daughter because of Rachel Alexander not being able to have too many foals.
Well, the only one, but the other baby, the
Jess's Dream.
Jess's Dream,
yes.
Right? These two wins, the maiden win and the spinaway win, the place went just berserk. I mean,
yes.
And one of the races, didn't she come from like 8 miles out
that
of it?
That was Jess's Dream.
Jess's Dream came from a mile out of it.
A mile out of it. Unbelievable race he ran. And it's the only time that we've ever run a horse first time out of mile and eighth. Because back then, here, it was 7 furlongs or a mile and an eighth.
That's right.
And we were going to go to Monmouth. And Barbara Bankey from Stone Street said, please run here. I don't want you to go to Monmouth. So she gets an assist for us running a mile and an eighth. First time out, and I probably never did it again or before, and he won. And he was last at the 3/8 pole, still by a long way.
Unbelievable.
It was a great race and a great call of the race, and he went on to be a stallion. We didn't make it back with him. He only had the one race.
That's right. That's right.
So he stands in Ocala.
Johnny Road. I'm just looking. I wanted to see how many. Let's see. 11.5, 12.5, 13, 15, 16, 18.5 lengths back after the first call.
Unbelievable. Luckily, Johnny worked him and knew him and had confidence in him, because many jockeys probably would have thought, let me just ride him on around there. He has no chance. But he stayed after him and came flying. It was unbelievable. I love watching the race from time to time now.
It's just unbelievable. And that was, let's see, that was 2015.
Yes.
That was 2015, which actually is more recent than I expected.
Yes.
And was he, and Jess had passed by then, right?
Yes. So curling out of Rachel Alexander.
Yeah.
And Jess's Dream did come true. Was that a call, something like that. It was a great call.
Well, and that was, you know, Barbara. Barbara had, that was the phoniest name the foal contest ever.
Yes.
They had this whole thing, right. name the foal. Yeah. Jess's Dream, that was they had that name working from day one. What are you talking about? That was the fix was in.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure, but I remember all of it. Yes.
Unbelievable. Well, so, I mean, obviously, that's part of this, that, you know, your association with, you know, with the family and, it's funny. Dee Dee McGahee's name comes up, of course. You know, Dolph's niece. What's Dee Dee's connection to Dolph Morrison, right?
I'm not sure.
The original owner of Rachel.
Yes, exactly. That's right. She bred him, her, and sold her. I think.
That's it. And,
yeah.
Okay.
She owned her
from the beginning, and
yes.
then she still has. I mean, Dee Dee's got Jimmy Jerkin strains something for Dee Dee, and
right.
Forget who else. Anyway, you loomed large, and any reason to have you on after
too long of a break is a good
reason. Talk about this. You know, we've touched, I think, once since this really got going. talk about how much you're enjoying it. I mean, you had early experience as a jock agent before you really got serious about training, so you knew the game, but, you know, talk about what it's like.
It's great. I mean, Luis makes my job easier and fun because he's a great person, you know, a father of three daughters and his wife, and they're just great people, and he doesn't complain. He loves to ride horses and would ride 10 a day if possible. And he's great to work with and an outstanding jockey, so it makes it fun, and we are able to ride for most everybody. We ride, you know, for a lot of people, and last year being leading rider was fabulous. This year we're tied for second or third with Joel, and we've had a good meet, though, and it's very tough. A lot of 10 Hall of Fame jockeys here. So Casa Creed the other day was a huge win, grade one for Bill Mott and Lee Einstedler. So it was a great win, and things are going well. And we have Secret Oath today going into Alabama, and others, nice horses to look forward to.
We talked, I think, right when this was all happening, and you know, the way you were, the timing of all of this worked out, you know, so perfectly in terms of stepping away, retiring. Louis's agent.
Richard DePass.
Richie DePass.
Yes.
Boy, sorry, Richie.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
It really was a huge opportunity,
right?
To just step in and have a guy that was, so established.
Correct. Made it easier for me, but it was a tough decision at first to give up great clients that I had training for, Godolphin, Shadwell, many, many others, Barbara Banky and other owners. But it was such a great opportunity, and I like being involved in the game still and doing this. So it worked out very well. Richard didn't believe I would give it up, and I wasn't sure he was going to retire. So we were back and forth, but it's worked out great.
What has changed from the time, and remind everybody about your early days on the racetrack as an agent, and give us a feel for what has changed in a 35 year.
Yes, 1992 and 1993, I had Chris Antley. So things have changed a lot because of the Zoom. You know, the Zoom now, it makes it nice to be able to be anywhere, basically. But I like coming out every day and seeing people, and that's all part of it. And then there's different programs that help you with picking horses and staying in touch with people and picking the races going forward. It's a little different than way back when. And Chris was... I had to babysit a little bit with Luis. So he was very talented rider, though. We did well here. We won several grade ones over the 2 years. And then he went to California, and I went to Dubai.
And that was yes, sort of the, yes. the divergence that, yes. And also for people that, and again, we've talked about this, worked for Del Carroll. At right before that?
Only for a short time. Very short time, but Lottie and I got married while working for him.
Wow.
And we were at the barn the next morning. Then we went to Florida after that.
Wow, and we missed Del.
Mark Cassie, we were up here for 1983, before we were married. First time we came to Saratoga. I was assistant, basically, for Mark back then.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
We're the same age, but we came up here in 1983.
This is a fun one thing I've learned, basically coming to the racetrack. One thing that I've learned that is it doesn't get discussed enough, and I learned it from Gary from Siaka. All of you racetrackers that came up, the exercise riders, assistants, and whatever avenue that brings you onto the racetrack, you all had roommates and had some of the craziest agglomerations of race trackers together, whether it's jocks and jock agents and trainers and who over the years, who did you guys end up, you know, sharing a house with all the travels?
And when a lot of the travels for me, I was Greg Birchall was one.
Oh, sure, that's right. That, yeah. When we had. What was the
Stick Stately Dude was his good horse,
and yeah.
We were best friends when we were 10 years old. So that's right. How I got in the business.
That's right.
But you know, going forward, it was when Lottie and I came here in 1983. We had a 35-foot travel trailer and a pickup truck.
You were early on that bandwagon.
Yes. So we lived in a travel trailer.
Nice.
And we took it all over the country, from Florida to Kentucky to here. To California, when I first started with Wayne, we had the travel trailer. So it's fun to talk about.
You taught that. You taught Cassie how to do that.
Yes, he has a bigger, nicer one.
He's got a. The Rolling Stones don't have.
Yes.
Well, come over here then. You got to come over here. We're not gonna miss this opportunity either.
Yes, right.
Sit down. Now I get to pull out. Now I get to pull out the Ann the Ann's photograph of everybody.
Yes.
Turn that around. There we go. No sooner does he mention working with Wayne, here comes Mark Hennig, and you pop up like a genie.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
He remembers those days of me having a travel trailer with his sister.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I asked him as offbeat a question as you're ever going to get, which is about who you might have roomed with, you know, when you're young and coming up.
Right.
And because there's all kinds of funny, you know, the one that I always reference, Dominic Galluzio, when Dominic passed, get a text. To, you know, somebody on the West Coast. I think, how can he, what possible connection could Gary Young have to Dominic? When Dominic went out there that one summer to Del Mar, one summer, and exercise road, roommate with Gary Young. They ended up roommating and ended up lifelong friends.
Yeah.
That's what is so interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Who did you guys?
I didn't room with, I was rooming with, women, I guess.
right. Yes. Right. But he was at Del Mar.
I was at Del Mar. I worked for Jack Vanberg at Del Mar, and I roomed with Donnie Ropp. I don't know if you know Donnie Ropp. He galloped Ali Sheba some, and whenever he was out there in California. But Donnie was Jack's assistant, and we lived in a dorm or in a tack room at Del Mar together. Actually, that when I got the job with Wayne was because Kieran told me just go down and try and talk to Wayne, and so I would go and act like I was coming in from the outside to go to work in the morning at like 4:30. I would wait and see him coming in, and I would go walk next to him and say hello and introduce myself, and that's how I ended up getting a job.
Yeah, how that, funny!
Yeah, it worked out well.
Chuck Simon told me a story the other day. He and George Weaver. Living together and working for Wayne here, or Zito or Wayne in New York.
Sure.
Down they were living in Floral Park, and I'll tell Chuck. He told some funny stories about George.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
George started with my dad. He came, picked him up at the stable gate at Churchill Downs.
Yeah,
turned him into a hot walker.
Just and George was just standing there.
Yeah, well, like that's what they used to do back in the day. They'd try to
get a job.
When you needed a hot walker, you go pick up one of those kids standing at the gate and try and teach him something.
First job he had on
that's
the
great. Track. That's great.
Yeah,
and of course your dad still holds court down at Payson Park.
Well, he's retired now. So
officially, he's not.
He still holds to the court, West though. Coast.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to miss him. My buddy Ray would stand there and listen to your
see
father.
Him at Tampa, maybe he'll be driving down to Tampa a little bit.
Yeah. Talk. You know,
I'll let Kieran go.
No, you're waiting for 2 seconds. I know you might have something to do or horse working, but talk about talk about the time together. How much time did you were you on the staff together for Wayne?
In the same barn?
Yeah, or
well,
basically on the same shed.
When I started as a foreman, it was under Kieran in the winter at Belmont when we were racing at Aqueduct.
Wow.
And then Kieran got to get out of there in the winter, and I got the winter job.
Right.
So
yeah.
He was going to Florida. And,
yeah, Gulfstream.
And then I would stay at Belmont.
And then we switched back.
Yeah,
you went
yeah.
last day because we liked New York, my wife and I.
Right.
We liked it.
There it is. And
then
established a beachhead.
I would do Churchill, Churchill and Gulfstream.
Well, of that incredible graduating class, I think I know the answer to this. I mean, who was the most difficult? Dallas, right? Dallas was the most incorrigible. Is that right?
he was the most hard to cage. You know, he was like trying to stuff smoke in a sock at times.
He didn't need any coffee to get going in the morning.
He once drank a Mountain Dew bottle full of what's that spray you spray on to kill weeds?
Roundup.
Yeah, we had some Roundup.
Are
in there.
You kidding?
And he came running in there. When he just took a swig, he knew as soon as he took the first sip that it was Roundup. But I got a lot of stories.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Remember, you know who escapes all these conversations is Randy Bradshaw. He's because he's off there preparing babies,
right,
and doing the pin hooking.
But exactly. He started right after me.
Came after you.
Yeah, just right after me in 1985, like the fall of 85. I started in February. Yeah, I saw him here last week at the sale.
He does a great job. We always talk during, almost always talk during the winter. And Dallas, who are we missing?
Todd, wow. Mike Maker, George Weaver.
Unbelievable. And just incredible. I'll put that picture up for those that have never seen it. And Eberhardt took a picture in the paddock at Churchill of Wayne and staff.
Yes.
And it's just iconic. I mean, the way, you know, to have you all and all up there at the same time. It's I'll ask you the perfect timing. It's unbelievable that he's
still
continuing.
Yeah,
the comeback has been great.
I know, he's doing great.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, it shouldn't come as any surprise how motivated he is. But I mean, to have seemingly the same drive and intensity.
Yes, in 87 in a couple of weeks, September 2nd.
It's admirable, yeah, for
yes.
sure.
He has some nice stock. It takes the players to be a good coach, and he has good players right now.
And he's, you know, he's buying. Yes. He's buying up, you know, and finding new clients.
Yeah, he's looking forward to the future.
It's unbelievable. Well, even Shug's the same way. Shug seems reinvigorated with the new, with some of the new client opportunities. It's amazing. I'm kind of surprised. I thought that after Oxbow, this is great. Here's a last great run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like at this point, that's like in the way in the rearview
right,
mirror. It was the last hurrah for Gary Stevens. But who he's talked about Antley before earlier. Who was fun to the riders and the moments during that period. Who was your big horse that you were around?
Well,
most?
I had Gary. Well, with Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, I was around. I was around all of them that, you know, we had together. Like, when I first started with Wayne, I was with Jeff at Belmont. I flew there after Del Mar when I got the job, and I walked down the shed road. Like, I flew in at, like, 10 o'clock at night. Jeff took me straight to the barn. We walked up and down the shed row. Winning Colors was a two-year-old.
Wow.
It's Lady Secret, Capote, Overall, all those Sacoista was in the barn. It was an incredible group of horses, just up and down the shed road.
Unbelievable.
I got the privilege of grazing Capote the next morning until he wrapped all four legs around me, tried to mount me and had me underneath him. But no, it was a It was a really, really wonderful opportunity at a young age.
Well, before I send you on your way, how about a mid-season, little past mid-season report?
We need a win.
Yeah.
We're still looking for a win. So we've had some seconds, but hopefully we can get one soon.
You had the horse ran that. I always noticed the horse because of her name. That Mashney girl in the Union the other day.
Yeah, she ran the other day.
Avenue.
Yeah, she's really a miler. The mile race didn't go. You know, you get stuck with square peg and round hole. You know, but she's probably the three quarters was probably a little short for her, and especially you know when she wound up on the lead.
That those same people have Cape Cod Causeway.
Yes. Yes.
Who are they?
Well, they live on the Cape.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Because
the Schusters, Steve and Al Schuster,
okay.
Wonderful people. I know they listen to you a lot.
Do they really?
They were talking about it. He listens to you going back and forth from work every day. Hopefully he's listening right now.
Well, then I'll explain why Mashney Girl catches my eye, and it's Mashney Stable.
Right.
When I was a little kid. We would go to Buzzards Bay, Mashney Village.
Okay.
So when I saw that name, or you know, right away, I knew you know they were cotters, and I got the biggest kick out of it. But when I was a little kid, we would stay there, and then when I got a little bit older, we ended up in North Truro, which is the last town before Provincetown, where at the dunes, and a little cottage called High Hopes, which is literally the second to last cottage before the dunes. And we went up there all the time. I was, I don't know, 12 to 18. But I was little when we went to Mashney Village.
Yeah, they're there all the time. They love it.
Well, send my regards. I'm rooting for him and rooting for you. Excursionist, too, ran okay.
Yeah, he got put up to second.
Yeah.
He was third here for Little Bluebird Stable. Which
another
is
great little
group. The Twitter group.
Yes, yes. I love it. Mark Hennig, everybody, stopping by and fitting it. Not at all. No, it is not in the way. Not
all
by
right.
any stretch.
Have a good day.
Get lucky, and we'll continue with Kieran. And that just, you know, it gets too,
yeah.
It's too fun of
great.
Of an opportunity. I do want to ask you, because part of what I think the industry and any young people that want to come into the game, Kieran, as we talk in a little career retrospective, the challenges are unbelievable, and yet there's still kids waiting at the gate
yes.
to get be brought in,
right?
And we still have young people hanging shingles and you know getting involved. And you were very vocal. We talked about it at the time with the frustration over the way the Department of Labor basically came in here and attacked more or less a way of life, didn't consider the way in which you know payrolls have been done in the game forever, and then basically attacked and I suppose it was low hanging fruit. Find everybody in sight. I mean, you and Chad and Linda Rice, George Weaver, Gary got clipped for six figures. I mean, everybody. They're attacking the record-keeping. You know, as if it's not hard enough.
Right.
To have that kind of intrusion and instead of working with, coming in and working with
right.
the industry, it just seemed untoward, and you were rightly outraged at the way in which the whole thing came down. I mean,
yes.
Talk a little bit about it, because frankly, the general public, they think that whenever there's one of these episodes, oh, see these usurious trade, they're taking
right,
advantage.
Right.
No, that's not what they're
correct.
That's not what
it
they're
was,
doing.
They ended up fining me $300,000 for 20 or 30 minutes overtime for 3 years for 60 employees. And we don't have a door to close and open like a grocery store. We have the barns open, and some of the guys come in at 4 a.m., but they were supposed to start at 4:30. So that was part of the issues. But, you know, what's terrible about it is we paid them, took out taxes, and we did everything right, paid them very well, and we staked them very well. And that's what was so hurtful, like we were stealing their money. They worked for me for 20 years or 25 years, the whole time I was training. And the 1% would add up to $12 million because I earned $120 million as a trainer. So $12 million was split up between exercise riders, grooms, and the barn. So it was a very good job, and we had a brand new dorm back at Greentree for the help to live in. So it's just wrong, and I feel bad for any trainer that has to go through it, because it's very hard to comply by every minute, every day, for everybody. So, you know, it was difficult, but we did right by everybody, and it was a shame how it happened, and so was everybody else.
Fold in, and your perspective will be fascinating. And I don't know how much you've looked into the rules as written, the HISA incursion into the game. How much of what they're doing have you looked at? I mean, beyond the jockey portion, you know, helping Louis understand, you know, any changes and nuances, because you know the six strike rule. But on a wider basis, discuss this a little bit and what your perception is of how it can work. Why there's people that are miffed about how this is being handled.
It's difficult, and luckily I don't have to dig into it too much on the one side. But even for the jockeys, you know, if they hit one extra time, it's three penalties: a day suspension, a fine, and 3 points against their license. So it's serious. But hopefully, overall, it seems like Lisa, that's in charge of it, is receptive to ideas and some changes, and hopefully it helps our industry going forward. I think, you know, in a year from now, no jockeys are going to hit seven times or eight times, but it's just getting used to things and knowing all the rules and regulations. It's tough. I'm glad I'm not training right now.
On that front, I mean, what do you think, considering that it's uniformity that everybody is talking about and everybody is hopeful for, but I mean, what areas of administration and regulation were most, in your view as a horseman at the time, you know, through your career, were most difficult, and what was, what do you think has been holding the industry back on that front?
Well, it's reporting everything. It's hard when you give a shot of Butte or inject the Hawk or Stifle, reporting all the medications and what you did it. And you have to match the vet. If you forget and you put it in your system the day after the vet put it in his system, it looks like you're on the wrong day. So you have to be very careful, and I always had someone to help me do it all because we had a big stable. So that's tricky, and hopefully that works out. But mostly we're just trying to get the game on a level playing field for everybody. That's the whole idea.
Well, when you say it's tricky,
yeah,
what does that remind us of?
You're right. Yeah, it's tricky. One of the best fillers I ever trained.
You know, it's funny, and we'll leave administrative stuff around, although I will ask one last administrative thing. Louis, has he had any issue with the sixth strike?
No, he's been good. Yeah.
Well,
we got beat though with one jockey that hit 11 times and he couldn't hit but six times. So, but they it's changed since then. It was not active that week.
Well, he and Louis is a guy who in his best case scenario is sort of drafting or is on the lead. I in my opinion, and frankly because he won two races for us, on the lead and then spurting away. I mean, he doesn't really use the stick until fairly late in the game anyway.
Yes, it's been like he's a very strong rider, and he finishes strong. And a lot of horses don't like to be hit repeatedly also. So it's but some do need it. So it's a learning curve for all jockeys.
The magic word, it's tricky, got us to segue back to Kieran's best horses and some of the best moments. And it is funny because you know, my my 15 years doing the show, they're, I mean, overlapped so many. I mean, of your greatest horses and some of the ones we got to be around, and which, you know, just, you know, all the babies out of Fast Cookie and Henny Hughes. And I don't even know if you know this story. Did I ever tell you this story?
Not sure.
When he was over here that summer, one summer, which of the summer, I know we've 2-year-old, must have been, he already was established. And not necessarily a horse that you'd go to the stall and try to play with.
Right.
My friend Bethany, who worked for Tom Evans.
Right.
And pulled him out.
Oh, yes, okay.
And was at trackside when he was a baby.
Yes.
She hadn't seen him in probably 2+ years. Alejandro, right?
The groom.
The groom.
Yes.
Alejandro said she came to visit and she said, can we get back on the, I said, sure. So we go to the back and it was like an afternoon, right during a race day. And Alejandro said, sure, come on. And she said, be careful. She went up to the webbing, made a noise. His ears went up, and he came running.
Wow.
Through his head in her hands.
Wow.
It was Alejandro was like,
yeah, that's neat.
Wow. And yeah. Remembering her from when he was a foal, from
yeah.
when he was a baby.
Wow, that's a neat
amazing.
Story. Yes.
We had so much fun.
Yeah.
Who else? You and I had, this is not a moment that you cherish, me seeing you in the runway. In the Derby.
Yes.
I thought he was going to win it.
Yes.
I thought he was going to win it.
Closing argument.
Unbelievable.
Yes, exactly. Well, usually you win at the eighth pole when you're in front, but we lost by a neck, half a length. But
unbelievable.
Yes.
You must, and I'm realizing, I then thought about it, you watched it in the cubby, in the little cubby hole? In the path.
Yes.
That's Wayne, right? Wayne
yes,
watches
yes,
derbies correct. In there.
I actually was back up in the paddock, but yeah, I thought we were going to win with my son, Ryan. We got split up from my wife and daughter for a little bit, but we almost won.
Unbelievable. But listen, and that would have been an extra nice, you know,
yes.
Little gold trophy on the mantle, but there's no shortage of trophies carrying it
yeah,
home.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Which of the moments? I mean, we the Invasor was so much fun, and how much of that was sort of a surprise to you? The way he
it was definitely a surprise,
right?
Because he didn't train well enough or run well enough at the very first time we took him to Dubai. He finished fourth. And then we came back for the Pimlico Special. And then when he won it, then we knew we had something pretty special. And he didn't lose again. So he was our favorite horse and best horse over the years. Frosted would then be a close second.
Absolute.
Yeah.
If we want to talk about, I don't know if he was a barn pet. I'm going to guess he was. Jazzle was as sweet a horse
yes,
as
right.
you ever want to be around.
Yeah, very sweet horse, yeah.
That Derby with him and Flashy, right?
Yeah, Flashy Bull, yeah.
That what a barn that was. You guys were in the middle, Barn 42. Flashy and Jazzy were there. Steppenwolfer was like three down. Danny Pites with the aluminum foil hat.
Yes, yeah.
doing his Magna Wave stuff, yeah. And Trombetta with Sweet Northern Saint on this side. On the back side was Brother Derek, Barbaro. I forget who was further down.
Yeah, that's I don't remember either. But it was a good group.
It was a good that was the barn to
yes,
be.
Yeah,
that was the
nice.
Barn to be. And I would you know. Got very close to Mike and his team, and but Jazzy was just like four stalls down, and you know, with that little tiny thing, he
yes,
was such a
he
little
was
horse.
Small.
The hard trier, and then poor Flashy Bull takes a shoe to the chest. Whose shoe came flying off?
Forget.
Remember?
Yeah. He had a tough post, too.
The 20,
yes.
right? He's in the 20 hole.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now that's a good post, apparently.
Yes. Now they have one gate.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Those are some of my favorites. Mohamed, I suppose.
Yes.
You know, you had that moment at Monmouth with who was the in the Breeders' Club, the first filly and mare turf in the soft.
La Hadoud. She's the grand dam of Baid, the superstar horse now in Europe.
I didn't realize that.
Might be running today.
At York?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How about that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, her daughter produced him.
In fact, that's a great question, because obviously you're still close to, and you know, the opera, the Godolphin operation, and how much it means to you and to your career. It really does feel, Karen, like all those building blocks that for many years people were, you know, they'd kind of say, Godolphin's spinning their wheels, and they're trying all these methods that don't work. And it really feels like all of the fruits of the labor for literally decades, for 20-plus years,
yes,
all seem to have really taken root. And when you mention something like La Hadoud, and whether it's Shadwell figures into this too.
Yes, Shadwell, correct.
But that, you know, you had a big hand in this. And so it must be fun to watch, you know, some of the success.
Yes, and one of the best fillies I ever trained, Cavorting.
Oh, sure.
Being the mother of these grade one winners is neat for Stone Street. So, but it's great. Shadwell and Godolphin looking back at all the mares and stallions too, so it's great to look back,
you know. And maybe you can, you're probably the best person to contrast this. I don't know if we ever discussed this, probably now, that because you always had the most polite responses to any of these questions, and Kieran always impressed me, because obviously when you start to work I'll let you say the specific names of Sheikh Hamdan and Sheikh Mohammed, because you incorporate the whole name. Is that,
yes,
that's by instruction? By
well, the bin, B-I-N, means
right.
son of. So
yep.
You have Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum,
right,
and Sheikh Hamdan bin Rashid Al Maktoum, where that was Shadwell and Godolphin. Now, then you have their sons with similar names, but they would be Sheikh Mohammed bin
Mohammed.
So-and-so, yes, and it would be different right on down the line. But great family connections, and it was 10 years in Dubai. I didn't learn much Arabic, but one of my favorite words was inshallah. And what does that mean? If God willing. They would say that about everything.
Yes.
I thought it'd be a good name of a horse.
It would be a good name
Spell
of a horse.
Spell it a little different.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It did seem during the period that the breadth of your career, it did seem that Sheikh Hamdan had more consistent success and had a slightly different approach to the business. And it seemed that Sheikh Mo was spending wildly.
Yes.
And Hamdan was much more. There was a shotgun approach at Godolphin, and there was a rifle approach at Shadwell.
Shadwell, he was really into the pedigrees, and he kept the families forever. And it's neat to see some of the top horses now. And Godolphin often bought and did things a little different, correct. But they were wonderful to work for, both of them.
It does, and it does seem that some of those lessons have rubbed off at a certain point on the Godolphin side.
Yes, but they have great pedigrees now.
Oh, sure.
After buying some of those fillies and stallions, it's great to see. And they're more on the breeding end of things now, too.
I'll never forget that. This goes back probably, God, this has got to go back 10, 12, who knows, 14 years. When you reached out to me, you said, I'm trying to get some statistics about mares,
yes,
being able to stay on the racetrack and produce,
right,
because they kept hustling the 3-year-old fillies and you wanted them back as a 4-year-old.
Sheikh Hamdan believed that they produced better as young mares, so he retired all the mares at the end of their 3-year-old year, except two that he sent here, and one of them was La Hadoud, and she went on to win. And now I'd go back and keep trying to get him to leave 4-year-olds, but he didn't. He believed that they were better producers.
The vital energy. There was a certain amount of that when a horse expels it as a race mare, that it
correct. That's what he felt.
The vitality.
And then we won, I think, 4 grade ones here or grade twos 1 year with 4 homebreds of Godolphin. Alpha, Dance Card,
Alpha, wow,
Frosted, Questing. There were several during that time. Was neat. So their program has changed also to a lot of homebreds. Essential qualities of homebred, and that's neat.
I'll ask you an offbeat, one of my favorite offbeat questions. A horse that had as much talent as any of the ones that came through the barn, that either had some bad luck or just when things conspire against horses, the weirdest things, and they could have been champions, they could have been great multiple grade one winners, and things just didn't gel, or injury, who comes to mind?
I don't really have any that come to mind. I'm sure I did have some, but I rarely look back. I always look forward. So that's a good question. I could probably sit down and look at things, but I didn't have too many of those.
Well, then you should be quite content, quite happy.
Yes.
Among the, we're talking some of the, the biggest champions and the names that are most familiar. But I'm gonna kind of go through Wedding Toast. Always liked, and
yes.
You mentioned Alpha, who is underappreciated. Tricky, of course. One of my favorites too.
We trained the mother of the Arlington Million winner, Centurio Italia, okay. Produced Brendan Walsh's
winner.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's neat. All the the
of
families.
What's also, I guess you'll still do it when you take calls on certain horses, but a lot of horsemen measure how old they're getting when they get to like the fourth generation. I trained Fifth Dam.
The 2-year-old Capture the Flag that we won on is owned by Joe Allen and Coolmore, and the Third Dam is Andover Way, Dynaformer's mother, and I had Dynaformer for Wayne every day that he trained. So I called Joe Allen to talk about it. So that's neat stories too.
That's amazing. You rubbed Dynaformer?
No, I was trained him as the assistant trainer for Wayne.
Okay.
At Mama.
How impossible was he?
He was very difficult horse, very tough to train, nasty to be around the stall.
Yeah.
But very talented. He did most of his running on the dirt, 90% of it, but he produces mostly turf horses.
Yeah, no.
Because he's son of Roberto.
Yeah, the influence will be forever.
Yes.
Was he, there's two different kinds of difficult, of tough horses. There's rogues that are just mean, and then there's some that are just big and kind of bullyish, and they'll throw their weight around because they want to be bosses. Or was he mean, or was he just
all the above? He was very difficult to train, difficult to ride, difficult in the stall.
Wow.
But great pedigree. He ran here, I want to say, in the Travers, and we told Angel he won't be able to pull him up. He won't pull up. He just was like, he didn't respect the rider and the bit in his mouth. It was like pulling on a tree. And the outrider pulled him up about the half-mile pole.
He just
and Angel
going.
Didn't want to believe that you won't be able to pull him. I want to ride him a mile and a quarter, and I can't pull him up? No, the outrider will help you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah, good old
story. We'll have to ask Angel.
Yeah.
That's great. It's one of some of the things that the underlayers around the game. One of my favorite conversations with Gary's assistant Paul Barone. He was Gulch's groom.
Yes, correct.
And all those Firestone horses that Lee had. Speak of the devil. Here he is, the one and only. We're talking to Kieran McLaughlin. You know Kieran?
Yeah, Paul with Gulch. Yeah.
He's got star power. Here's the most important. Do you ever play poker? You're not a poker player, are you? I was going to say, who's the latest, newest mark at the poker games?
We don't play much
anymore. What do you mean?
Because the last couple of years with COVID. Yeah, it's hard to play poker.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
So where's that pin money coming for me?
No poker. So.
Well, for those, and people know that I've joked about this for years. The famous poker game up here this summer, and I mean, if they made one of these poker movies about the racetrack, who's playing you? Who's playing?
Yeah,
who's playing?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh,
who's
because
playing,
somebody's playing you because you're a major.
But I would like that.
Who taught you? Where'd you learn to play poker?
Just as a kid growing up. In Lexington, I just play with my friends and baseball coach and all, so.
Just warning you, the occasion arises, folks. Those of you that are owners, you know, boy, they put the big M on some owners over the years, you know. I want to get in that game.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck to you, pal.
Right.
So. I love it. Karen, Louis and who's a 2-year-old that you're excited about? What's coming up with a couple of starters? We got to give them a couple of winners.
Well, no, it's just the capture the flag was a nice winner for us
right?
with Shug, so that we're looking forward to him running
down
back.
The road.
And we're working some nice ones for Todd. Hopefully, they show up in the afternoon, and all is well.
I would say. I've been looking at this year's graded stake winners. We got Secret Oath, of course, coming back, and Cheryl Spite won the Maker's Mark. Casa now with the 2 grade 1 wins. Let me ask you a question. Bill, I'm sure you discussed this with Bill. They must, right? I mean, the trainers must float some things with you and with a horse like this about, you know, I had Leon on Monday and we talked. They're unsure if they want to run at Keeneland or there's the big money race at Kentucky Downs again. They tried last year. You know, he's an interesting horse from a distance dynamic. What would how would you get him to the Breeders' Cup?
He's in great hands with Bill Mott, so I'm gonna leave that to him.
Okay,
we're happy to ride him, but you know, 5.5 is probably a little short.
A little sharp.
Bill had said
sharp.
That, so probably the mile, whether it's straight to the Breeders' Cup or the Shadwell Mile, now the Coolmore Mile. Yes, at Keeneland, we'll see.
There's a case to be made. And I could ask you this. I mean, and you've picked him up, obviously, most recently for his last, what, 3 starts. I think it's amazing that at the age of 6, it's unusual for a horse to then hit another high level,
correct,
another peak.
Yeah, it is. Again, Bill Mott's done a fabulous job. He's in the Hall of Fame, and he's a great horseman. And it's great, the horse. And Luis seems to get on real well with him, and he loves him. So we're blessed to be on him.
The key, and Lee I don't know if it was on TV or if it was on radio, because we had him Sunday and Monday. Lee brought up a good point. He said Joe Bravo was central to that, to some of the learning that they've had, which is that this is a horse that doesn't want to be rushed, wants to settle and just come with one run. And with that knowledge and the way in which he blasted that field without much of a pace setup.
Yes.
The case could be made that the 5.5, you know, isn't necessarily too sharp either.
Yes, if because it'll go fast.
And just the way in which riding him now.
Right.
And tactically, you know, tactically.
6 or 7 would be better, but 5.5 might be just a little too short.
If he stays sound, they want to come back for next year for down the hill.
That would be great.
Right? He would be a natural. You got to go.
Yeah.
This was unbelievable.
Yeah,
this was
great.
Overdue.
You've been so good to me over the years. Thanks for all your support.
Thank. Not at all.
Yeah.
Kieran McLaughlin, everybody, as great as it gets. And the kids. The one thing I didn't ask about with the kids.
Yes, my son just got married a month ago. He's building a house here. His wife's going to work for Saratoga High School, and he works for Shade Tree Wealth Management.
Very cool.
And Aaron's at the Breeders' Cup still, so all is going well.
I saw her at, where were we? We were at Haskell.
Yeah, right.
We saw her at Haskell standing by.
Yeah, so.
And Letty and knock on wood, everything. You're
everything's
feeling
great.
Good. All right.
Thank you.
Kieran, thank you.
Thank you.
Kieran McLaughlin, everybody, and over the years, so many fun conversations, and with so many of his horses, a fabulous hour with Kieran. That'll be in the files of the best of, plus a cameo from Mark Hennig, and you got a little bit of... there you go. And also had a cameo from Siaka. Let's take a break. Our first of the morning after a great hour. Sid is going to join us next. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. Weather is fine. And don't worry about that. We're in good shape. If it doesn't rain in the next 45 minutes, it's not going to. And there may be a sprinkle. Then what else? Bill Gallo will join us live. And oh, Laughing Boy, we got Seth. We got Seth Merrill. He'll be here. I better remind him to be here. And I'm sure there's something else that got so absorbed in this conversation. Really enjoyed that. We'll go back for a second here to yesterday as the familiar refrains play us out of hour one. Let's go back to the Colonial. Let's go to the videotape and wrap that conversation up. The numbers ended up being the pick five paid $6,300 and $24. Unbelievable. Pick four paid up exactly $1,500 with 40 cents. And yeah, Tiki Bar 680, Jalen Journey being put up, 35-20. Thanks to Nick Hahn, too. Nick brings up a good point. Track record for Necker Island. It doesn't pay any bills, but it's nice. The name will be in the program. King Vega paid $940. And Didia, $8 was a good price on Didia. And Scano, $920. So these were, other than Jalen Journey, who, you know, you did have to reach. You have to be a little creative. That was the only tough horse. Everybody else made plenty of sense in this sequence. And that's a, you know, with 12%, it's a great play. And Fee d'Esprit, too. Fee d'Esprit was $1,580. I got to mention something now that I'm realizing it. Well, somebody wrote to me about, told me about Hollywood Walk. I forget what that was. But Marcus Hirsch is absolutely zeroed in at Colonial. He picked Fee d'Esprit on top, Scano on top. Didier was his best bet. King Vega. He was victimized by scratches, as it happens. Necker Island was the only, after scratches, Surveillance and Baron, the only horse left on Marcus's picks was Necker Island. So he basically, and then Tiki Bar was his third pick. So Marcus essentially, minus the DQ, Marcus basically picked five straight winners there. And Tiki Bar. So Marcus is killing it at Colonial. We will take a break and come back to Saratoga Race Course. Perfect timing. Siaka's coming back. What are you eating? We're live at Saratoga. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 56. 56-